Good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, don't forget what revelation means. The word in the Greek is apocalypse. And apocalypse is usually, as I've stated in this modern time, explosions, the world burning up. And that's so far from the truth, and that's one of the reasons a lot of people will be deceived. Because the apocalypse, the word itself, means to reveal, to open, to make known. And if you're a real good teacher, you're not going to say, we're not supposed to understand revelation. You're supposed to say, we're going to try to open it. And we will do that. Now, the danger again is that it's very clear from the book of Daniel, as well as many other places, that the false Messiah, which is the danger, comes in prosperously and peacefully, just the opposite of what many people teach. So, and that's why so many people will be deceived. Why? The word anti in the Greek is instead of. In other words, instead of Christ will come the false one, and he's coming in prosperously and peacefully. That's what they expect from the true Christ. So many will be deceived because they have not studied God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to see what saith the Lord. Having said that, let's get right into chapter 2. We found out that God himself translates part of this. And you're not to touch that. The stars he sent were angels to each of seven churches. Seven meaning spiritual completeness. He sent, and each of the churches is a candlestick. So there's no great mystery in that. It's made known. So with that having been said, chapter 2, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Ephesus means permitted. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Meaning he's right there with us. Who holds them? Christ does. Our Heavenly Father. Verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Those are good things. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That's good. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. In other words, you're getting on to the truth pretty good, but watch this, though. 3. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. In other words, you hang in there pretty good. Nevertheless, and this is where you can go wrong. He's not happy with that church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They left off Christ as their first love because they don't know who they're loving. Because he looks like Christ, talks like Christ, and they're deceived. So what does it mean? Why would he have something against that church? Because they're going to follow the Antichrist. His message will be, I've come to fly you out of here. And boy, are they loaded and locked for that. But it's not scriptural. It's just the teachings of man. Don't ever leave your first love. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That's a pretty serious thing. In other words, he removes the whole thing. And they're left hanging out with the wrong person. Verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He hates Baal worship. And that's what they did, is they worshiped Baal. Worship the false Christ. Worship Satan, so to speak. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That tree of life, of course, is Christ. If you do what God instructs you to do, he will allow that Holy Spirit to dwell with you, around you, lead you, protect you. That's not to say that you'll be at a bed of roses all the time, but he will see that you always get through. And that's what's important. You can begin to see how important it is to our Father, because he is a jealous God, that when his children, whom he has done so much for, begin to fall off or be deceived, he naturally does not like it. So there you are. And now verse 8, that church, it's a downer. You will have two churches out of this group of seven that he's pleased with. It is not the name necessarily. It is the content of what they teach that identifies to you what it is you're supposed to have in your midst, the teaching. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, Smyrna means myrrh, but it is a fig, okay? Right. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He was crucified for us, but he is now resurrected. He is risen, and that Holy Spirit dwells with us. And so it is. Verse 9. Church of Smyrna is one of the churches you want to be like. Listen carefully. Does your church teach this? I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So, there you have, does your church teach that? These Kenites, who are of the synagogue of Satan, give our brother Judah a great deal of consternation. Cause him much, much trouble. But there they are, slipped in. They've been there since Jeremiah chapter 35 for protection, but yet they still have, they've been the bookkeepers for Judah since 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. That's to show you how long they've kneaded in. And this is why, as a student of God's Word, you got to be very careful. They have changed a few things. Change the meaning of them. But where did God ever tell us of that? Lots of places. Lots of places he has told us. We're going to go to John chapter 8 verse 42. John chapter 8 42. Here we have this same group. Trying to work with Christ. And he spots them. He said, if you'll learn the truth, it'll make you free. They chose not to be free. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I'm here for his purpose. Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 40, why do you not understand my speech? Question. Even because you cannot hear my word. They didn't have ears to hear. Do you? That's what's important, if you have ears to hear. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. Now that's Christ speaking. It's his words. And I don't think that needs any interpretation. I think it's really quite clear. You are of your father the devil. You're his offspring. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now let's see, how about a little Bible quiz? Who was the first murderer? There's only one, and that was Cain. And his offspring in the Hebrew tongue are called Kenites. K-E-N-I-T-E-S. From the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, and there you have that lie floating around. And how anxious some people are to latch on to it. Again, this is coming from a church that Christ approved of. So naturally, you have to teach this. Why is it that it's left out of so many congregations and never taught? Well, I think you got the idea. They have an intruder, and they're anxious to listen to him. We'll get around to reading the Word. Just give us a sermon. A sermon about what? Well, how to feel good. Feeling good could land you up in hell if you don't have the truth. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you conceiveth me of sin, as I say the truth? Why do you not believe me? And again, because they're not of God. They are a different ilk. Returning then to chapter 2, the great book of Revelation, we'll go with verse 10 as we return. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He's with us. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. How is it that you could be faithful to death? Who are you delivered up before? Christ, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14, he came to this earth to destroy death, which is to say the devil. So the devil is death, and you're going to be delivered up before him. Many of you that think that he is the Christ. Did Jesus by chance say something about this in another place? Of course he did. And we find it in Mark chapter 13, verse 9. Mark chapter 13, verse 9, you'll have it. It reads, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, the Sanhedrins, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake. That's to say, for Christ's sake, to bring forth the real truth, for a testimony against them. Christ will always pick his elect as to spread the word. Now, why would he say you'll only have 10 days? That's not a national thing. The house of Israel will have tribulation 5 months, but no individual will have to put up with more than 10 days, and they've got their work done, and we'll continue. Verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. That's the whole purpose, beloved, is to get the real truth of God's word out whereby it saves souls. That they're not deceived. They're not led down Primrose Lane to worship the false Christ. Verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes over and speaks for you. That's the way the true gospel is shed, and you can rest assured it will be line on line and truth on truth. And many people that are being deceived will hear that voice. coming through you. And you will never last over 10 days trial. Christ has compassion. And he takes compassion on his elect. But we can cut it anyway. You know, don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. You have Christ with you. You have nothing to fear. And a brave man dies once. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. Though this does not lead to death, because we have a testimony to give. And that testimony is the Word of God directly from the Holy Spirit, which is to say, our Father. It cannot be refuted, and it will sting many people. You know, many people try to be a good Christian, but they haven't been taught. And when they hear that voice from God, and realize they've been worshiping Satan, they're going to be mighty hurt. There's going to be a lot of deep repenting going on at that time. As a matter of fact, when we get to the 9th chapter of this great book of Revelation, some of them are so ashamed to face the true Christ, they pray for the mountains to fall on them. Because they've been had. And there they thought they were good Christians. It's just they were misled. They are good people. But if you don't have the truth, you don't have the truth. The truth is so valuable. It's such a valuable thing. It's what gets you into the eternity. The truth, as we read, or as I quoted from St. John chapter 8, verse 32, that truth will set you free. And having a free mind to do God's work, to continue His work, it doesn't get any better than that. Well, I really am not a very good speaker. You don't have to be. Don't even premeditate what you're going to say. He will speak through you. He'll take over. It will be accurate. It will be correct. This, my friends, is what was spoken on Pentecost Day. Was this so-called unknown, only it's not unknown. The opposite. What was spoken on Pentecost Day, it was in every language of the world. The Holy Spirit can do that. A man can't. Okay. So there you have it. Now, is there any other place that you could follow up on this? Well, there could. We're not going to go there, but you can. It's Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 32 through about 40. Christ tells you about the tares. Tares are a plant that looks just like wheat when it's growing. It's called zawan. But when it ripens, it's not a rich golden grain. It's a black poisonous seed. And he says, the devil is the one that planted them and they are his children, speaking of the Kenites. So you're warned about this by Christ himself in many places. Have you read? And do you have ears to hear? That's what's important. Okay, returning then to the second chapter of Revelation, we'll go with verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, what is the second death? It's the death of the soul. That's what the final judgment on the judgment day, the last day of the millennium, that's what it's about. If you don't make that cut, then the death of your soul is coming. That means you don't exist. Do you understand that's why there's no tears in heaven? How could you, you know, as many people would teach, there's a big lake of fire there and there's old Uncle Henry just burning to a crisp and you're rejoicing in heaven. What's wrong with that picture? A lot. That's not the way God does it. God spoke and nothing became everything, and God speaks and something can become nothing. So, inasmuch as he created souls, he can also blot them out. they will not even be in your memory to weep over. It will be over, done, and heaven will be a beautiful, wonderful place. There is that lake, and it is a consuming fire because our Father is a consuming fire. And that's what makes the big cut. We'll get to that in the 20th chapter of this great book. Verse 12. The point being in that 11th verse, do you have ears to hear? Have you known since you were a child there was a lot more to God's word than you had been taught? Then come to the apocalypse, which is the opening, the uncovering, and see what God has to say. Verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. The sharp sword, of course, is his tongue. And God's word does cut both ways. But it cuts right to the quick, to the truth. And that's what's important, if you've got ears to hear it. Verse 13, I know thy works, and we're going with Pergamos here, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. I mean, right there, we're talking Jerusalem, as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through about 5, that Satan will appear in Jerusalem on the throne claiming to be God. So you can expect that that's where Satan's seat is during that period of time. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. What does Antipas mean? It means against the Father. Well, if you'll note real close, there is no uppercase in that for the identifier, and certainly because there is no other uppercase, it's someone that is very much against Satan while he sits in that seat. I this is speculation now. Don't ask me to document this, because it cannot be documented. But I believe that Antipas will be none other than Enoch himself. Enoch was preaching this gospel. He preached this gospel even while he walked the earth. And so it is that he would become that martyr. And there it would be. But you'll find that in the book of Jude, where that Enoch preached against those that claimed to be father's servants and were actually the children of the devil. So naturally it would be his place. Inasmuch as he walked with God and God took him, I mean, he didn't die. He was translated, just as some were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when this happened, God would have had a purpose in holding him to do this specific job, to teach against the seed of Satan and what he's doing. And Enoch will be very well prepared to fill that role. Enoch, I do not believe, will be one of the two witnesses. The two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. One is the law and the other is prophet. And that covers all in God's word. So, in my opinion, he that pours right onto the seed of Satan will be none other than Enoch himself. That's, as I said, it is speculation. It is yours to do with as you choose. 14. But I have a few things against thee. Here we go again. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. You got a bunch of Balaam worshipers there. You got a bunch of people worshiping the false Messiah. who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. In other words, this is also those that preach God's word just for money. Bunch of beggars that just never quite, they do a lot of talking, but they, you see, that's who Balaam was misled by. He was offered money, and though he was pretty honest in it, that at the same time he rushed to collect it. And God had to use his own animal to stop him. And he was roughing up the animal, and God spoke through the animal. God will use whomever, whatever he wishes to get his message across. So this particular church has to do with people that do not follow the truth, but care about people's tithe. And that's their main concern, is people's tithe as they continue on. So, that's what we have wrong with that church. You see all these types, but you want to watch the ones, there's only two he was pleased with. If your church does not teach what they teach, you're in a heap of hurt, my friend. You need to do some soul searching and some research. Let's go with the next verse, please, verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Well, if God hates something your church is doing, again, you're still in a heap of hurt. If he's not happy, nobody will be happy. Verse 16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. In other words, it's going to cut both ways. And you know, truth will do that. Truth always, it may hurt, but you will heal over a lot better when you accept it and when you know that it is what God has said. Because that's what's important. It's not important what man says. It's important what the Holy Scriptures say, being properly interpreted or listening to God's interpretation. So that church, you sure don't want any part of. It had a lot wrong with it, and deception from one end of it to the other. Okay, we'll go with the next verse, and it would be 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Manna is the truth from God's word. And is it hidden? Well, it is from most when false teaching comes along. When we've only got one church so far out of this seven, there'll be another that teaches the truth. You can see why. And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. That is to say, he that receives the truth. This is a beautiful thing. It's a promise from God. Is that if you will seek, you will find. And that's also a promise from him. And if you seek diligently, and pray for his help, even, in understanding. That's there is no one that really accepts the word in depth that doesn't pray for understanding, and God usually gives it to those that are deserving. How precious it is! I want to tell you something. There's a little deeper secret to this white stone thing. You know, I'm going to give you two Greek words in your Strong's Concordance, 5585 and 5586. 5586 and 85 were also the same when we get to the 18th, when we get to the 13th chapter, in the 18th verse. It will say, I want you to count the number of the beast. Well, count of this man, rather. This word count is the same as this word white stone, basically, because you count his number by stones worn smooth over a long period of time. In other words, you watch him and his children coming out the gate, and you watch them from First Chronicles, when they chapter 2, verse 55, where they came in and started using the books of Judah to keep record, and that's why some records are askew. But a good scholar can spot it. It's no biggie. But why? Because you cut the white stone. You know how to count his actions. You know how to count what it is he does and be aware of it and forewarned, whereby not only do you warn yourself, that isn't at all the plan of God, but so that you can warn others, so that the message can spread, so the truth can go abroad, and people can hear the actual word of God. And again, as we read in, and I quoted in John chapter 8, verse 32, the truth can set you free. It's that simple. Everybody should want to be free. Free from lies. Free from deception, when you hear them on the boob tube in political situations. You can spot it that quick, because the truth is with you. It will set you free. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Canada. And if you have a question, feel free. We can no longer answer all questions. We'll take a handful. Yours could be there if the Holy Spirit leads. So feel free to do that. We, as I stated, can no longer answer all of them, but as we're needed. I want to say one more time, we have many listeners that have heard the word for the first time, and they will ask very simple questions. If you do not answer those questions as one of, with knowledge and understanding and have patience with the new fruit, Your organization is not going to grow. Christ Church can't grow if you don't give it an opportunity to. You have to pick up the whole purpose. As Christ would tell Peter, feed my sheep, but most feed my lambs. So you be gentle with someone hearing for the first time, and help them along. It's a good thing. So, there we go, and it's always good to have you with us. And we're going to go to his throne. Heavenly Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the people that you give eyes to see and ears to hear. In Yahshua's precious name, amen. Okay, and we'll get into some question times here. And we got John from Texas. Where do you get documentation on the First World Age? Well, probably the easiest and simplest is 2 Peter chapter 3, where he would say, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact there was an earth age before this one, and that 1,000 years is just one day with God. And the first one was destroyed by water. It sure wasn't the flood of Noah, because we're talking about a different age altogether. We have the artifacts and so many other proofs that a person would be blind if they didn't realize that through geology or archaeology or God's Word Himself. As a matter of fact, it is so easy if you understand the Hebrew language just a little bit. Your Strong's or your companion Bible will help you on verse 1 and 2 in the book of Genesis, which actually says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period. It didn't say when. But the second verse gives it away. It states, not that the earth became void without form, it was not without form, but that it became without form. Why? Satan's overthrow. A third of God's children were following Satan. He got tired of it, and he put a stop to it. And he ended that first earth age. That's when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and many other proofs we have. But your simplest proof is the third chapter of 2 Peter, and it gives you all three earth ages drawn out. Okay, this would be Eleanor from Georgia. My question is, where can I find more about Cain killing Abel? Because it appears that more happened then than was written in God's Word. My premise for this is in Luke 11:49-50. What is a brother's keeper, and why did Cain ask God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, because he was guilty. That was pretty old shame coming on to him. And I think you ask, where is it written? I think you read it today in John 8:44. He was the first murderer. And from the beginning. Why? Because he didn't have God. He was Satan's child. Nancy from Tennessee. Satan will be on earth in person 2.5 years. What will happen at the start of the 5 months so that we will know it has started? You won't have any trouble, because Elijah shows up, the two witnesses show up about, they appear in days, that's solar. Satan appears in 42 moons. A moon is not 30 days. So therefore, the two witnesses have a longer stay and a comfort. They will be assisting God's elect. Mary from Texas, please tell me where I can find where it says you can not eat pork. Well, it says it in Leviticus chapter 11. Plus many other places. I was told as long as you bleed the animal, it is okay to eat. I love your teaching. Well, bleeding the animal doesn't make the animal clean. It's a scavenger. It eats all the garbage and crud it can find to partake of. That's why God created the swine, is to keep the earth clean of diseases. Now, in the great book of Timothy, in chapter 4, it will, many people think that makes it all right, because it will say, don't let anyone judge you in marriage or in food, partaking of food that God created to be received. Well, he makes it very clear in many places, I didn't create the swine to be received. And then it will continue on and it will say, all of God's animals are good. Well, they're good for what he intended them for. Good for swapping up the earth. And some that eat basically from herbs, stuff that grows from the soil, because man himself comes from the soil, then it's a healthy way to go. But is it going to send you to hell to eat swine? No, but it's going to hurt your health, because they are our bodies are not constructed whereby it can take that. Kenneth from Illinois, where in the Bible can I find the Antichrist comes first? Jesus comes in the seventh trump. Father dislikes when people teach his people to fly away. Well, you'll find the flyaway doctrine in Ezekiel chapter 13. And the fact that the Antichrist comes first, he teaches it in this book of Revelation, the unveiling, whereby a child could understand. It's like if you can count to seven, all you have to do is count to seven trumps, and you have the sequence basically, especially after past six, of exactly how it goes down. The true Christ doesn't return until the seventh trump. The false Christ comes at the sixth. That's God's warning to the people. Gary from Tennessee, could you tell me the difference between the elect and those who have other are overcomers? Yes, it's real simple. You have two ends of the spectrum. You have God's elect that they earned it. They weren't given something free. As it states in Romans chapter 8, they were called the set aside ones. That word in the English is saints, that did not follow Satan, that fought against him even in the first earth age. Therefore, God could choose them, and they were foreordained, as it states in that eighth chapter of Romans, foreordained to do what God wills. God will interfere in one of the elect's lives to lead them where he wants them. But those that did not overcome, they have free will. In other words, they did not overcome in the first earth age. Therefore, they work in this earth age to overcome. This is the age of salvation, the main salvation coming during the millennium, when people can actually see the truth. And so it is. Gene from Texas. I have a friend that thinks God always punishes people for talking about her example, talking about her shoes, her hair, her perfume. I don't think God has time to be concerned himself about petty things like that. What do you say? Well, that's the same thing. You hear somebody say, I was driving around and God told me to park right there. If you don't know where to park your car, God's not going to help you. You're a hopeless case. So there are certain things he does and some things that are a little childish for him. This person would have a complex that's not good. She's afraid people are picking on her, all of them, and they probably don't have time to even think a whole lot about her. So be it. Jack from Arizona, what's the difference between cremation and burying someone in the ground? It's all the same. These bodies, came from the ground. They're going back to the ground. Even as your mother carried you in her womb, she ate things from the ground, and even hopefully animals that eat grass, grain, or something from the ground and convert it to food, protein. That's the way it is. And so, when as it's written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, instantly when the cord parts, silver cord, you die, in other words, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul, returns to God from whence it came. That's where we came from. Robert from Indiana. When the Antichrist comes, will he be in spiritual or physical body? Will we know who he is? Will the Christians be gone? No, they will not. As a matter of fact, this is that sad part where a lot of Christians will be deceived. The Antichrist, as you can well read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is none other than Satan himself. He when he was assigned, as is written in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, that he was the protecting cherub. He was one of the cherubims that stood on the similitude of the Ark of God. And he earned it. God told him, said, I made you the full pattern. Why, he deserved it. And then he got to be a pretty boy. And he got real proud of himself. And he began to want, he knew the Messiah connotation to the mercy seat was for Christ. He wanted to be Christ. That's why he is instead of Christ. And God's word fits together like a tight glove if you receive it and understand it. And so it is. Victoria from California. Where does it say that you will be caught up in the clouds with the Lord? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through about 18. But that's the seventh trump. What we've been talking about, the false Christ coming, happens at the sixth trump. That's why the book of Revelation, Apocalypse, is so important, is to know the chronological order of events that consummate the end of this age. And all you have to do is hang on to that. Don't ever let anyone deceive you. Do not be deceived. Do not let Satan deceive you. You hold on to that truth for all your might. Well, where do I find it? In the Word of God. This would be Frank and Andrea from Pennsylvania. Can we discern fallen angels in our flesh body? Of course you can, but it's not quite time for them yet. They are. You can read when they are dispatched in Revelation chapter 12. We'll be getting there. In Revelation chapter 12, in the sixth verse, they and Satan fight with Michael and his angels, and naturally Michael and his angels win. And Satan is cast to the earth. And that's why the last three trumps are woe trumps, because he makes it really rough on whomever he can. But he does not have the power, authority, or excuses for harming God's elect. He tries. But we are a little sharper than that. We listen to the Word of God. We accept the Word of God. Okay, this would be Derry. I think it's Davy or Derry or something there. And I don't know how lost I would be without God every day. My question is more of a request. What words or how do you say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, I can tell you're trying to quote a scripture. This would be Christ's words on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Which he was not saying God had forsaken him. He was quoting Psalms 22, verse 1. And Psalms 22 continue on after verse 1. It was David that said that, not Christ, okay? Christ was teaching when he came with that statement. But you continue on reading Psalms 22, it has all the information, even down to what the false priest was doing on that day, the day of the crucifixion. So it would be do you well to read the entire psalm and see what Christ was teaching while he hung on the cross. In other words, it was foretold of long ago. He could have stopped it at any time. It was God's prophecy. It was meant to be. And why? God paid for our sins if you repent. That's what it amounts to. And he did it without whimpering or complaining. Hi, Pastor. This is Joseph of... I can't make the place location. And what was his... Oh, here we go. Who was Joseph of Arimathea? And what was his role in celebrating or something Christianity to the British Isles, carrying it there, I suppose, before the renewal? He was a businessman. Joseph of Arimathea was Mother Mary's uncle. Therefore, he was Christ's uncle, second time. And his business was tin. It is not biblical proven completely, and yet at the same time it is, because he was able to reclaim the body as the nearest kinsman redeemer. That answers it right there, that he was a kinsman redeemer. You know what a kinsman is? That means someone you're related to. But you have documentation in from Great Britain, and that Joseph of Arimathea would go there. You'll find this in the Traditions of Glastonbury. We carry that little book, and it's well worth reading. And it shows him even on signs yet to this day of Joseph sailing a boat, and there's a young lad in the front, the bow of this boat, that Christ journeyed with him before he was 12 years old to Europe. But Joseph went there. I suppose we could say it was spreading Christianity because he was a Christian. He believed in Christ. He claimed the body. But he went there because of business. He was quite wealthy from the tin trade. This would be Schumer from Ohio. You always talk about the Hebrew manuscripts. Where can I obtain it, and how can I obtain it? You also talk about 1611 King James Bible. Where can I find? Right here. We carry the 1611 to show people for one thing. That's that the translators of it wrote a letter to you, the reader, many, many years ago, 1611. And it cautions you that they've done their best, but fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, Greek and Hebrew are fixed, and Aramaic are fixed languages. But each word sometimes means more than one thing. So therefore, when they make the translation, they choose how they thought it should be. And if you're reading the word and you understand the manuscripts, you can make your own mind up as to which word should have been used. But as well as the The manuscripts themselves, Green's Interlinear, simply for the manuscripts, it's the best set you can have. Most accurate from the British Museum. But the his translation of it, then I would be careful. He did a good work. But he is a man. But the least expensive way to have a set of the manuscripts is to get a Strong's Concordance. And Dr. Strong converts each word back to the original meanings whereby you have it in hand. Therefore, we are out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. But most important, God loves you for it. You know, God does love His children. And when you read His letter that He sent to you, it makes His day. And when you make God's day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings if and only if we've helped you. You help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day because Jesus Christ is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on